After footy show.
Show?
Footy Oscars time. This is Jerome Rapardi giving his best impression of a doctor.
Dr. Rapardi, what do you think?
That used to be my own goal.
Mayan? You're not in Guatemala now, Dr. Rapardi.
No, we're not. We're at Mount Smart Stadium.
We need to rush him to Central, but we haven't got an ambulance.
That's okay. We got our van.
Can he go all the way? Yes, he can!
Dr. Rapardi, it's too late. The ball is dead.
Yes, that might have been awful, but they were in New Zealand. They do get their players involved in some skits for the TV. That was Jerome Rapardi's effort from 2008 after Ryan Shortland has scored two tries on debut. Do you remember that name? I don't. Ryan Shortland, there you go. Congratulations, Jerome Rapardi. What an effort. You get our first nomination in Not the Footy Show's Footy Oscars. Here's the show, episode 65 of Not the Footy Show.
Not the Footy Show.
G'day everyone, Warwick Nicholson here. This is Not the Footy Show, episode 65. Good to have your company. It's the round 13 preview. Just the three guests this evening. I've got Nick McInerney on the line talking tips. Matty Duncan talking all things round 12 and some topical issues going on in rugby league at the moment. And we float the idea of rugby league day. Five games back to back to back to back on a Sunday about this time of year. For more of that, check out the last part of the podcast. And Maria Cialis reports to us live, well, sort of live, from the Women in League launch over there at Leichhardt Oval. So it's not the longest show of all time, but it's a pretty good one. We look forward to your company for the rest of the show here on Not the Footy Show. And remember, tell your mum, it's pretty good.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
It's Not the Footy Show, episode 65 continues. Matthew Duncan is up there in Queensland, giving us all the goss about the game up there, the current state of origin holders and all that jazz. Mate, it's been a week and a bit. How you feeling?
Pretty good, boys. It's sunk in. We're 1-0 up and looking forward to game two. A bit chilly in Queensland this week. Wind has hit and, we're all still wearing the maroon jerseys.
What is it, 20 degrees now or something?
Maybe got to 19 or so. Yeah, that's
kind of
weather for us up here,
was. Yeah, the whole problem, though, up there in Brisbane at the moment, it's not Origin, it's those Brisbane Broncos. Is that three losses on the trot, mate?
Yeah, three in a row, was. We don't mention the slump word, but, I tend to think the Broncos had penciled in the losses, particularly against Manly and the Storm, but maybe they didn't want to get belted quite like they did the other night, though.
Yeah, we'll go through the round 12 review in just a second, but the rest of the things we'll talk about with Matt tonight are the NRL making a real push on Facebook but forgetting Twitter. We've got a bit of comments about possibly moving Origin to Monday night. It's been floated in the media. And yeah, we'll have a bit more with Matty Duncan. But after the break, we'll go through round 12 on Not the Footy Show.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
That's a bit of a classic ad, way back in the 1980s from America. But it has something to do with the rest of the show. There's a bit of culture coming up on Another Footy Show, so stay tuned for Nick and Woz and culture later on. Here's Matt reviewing round number 12.
Oh, how good is this?
So Friday night, I didn't see this game, mate, but the Brisbane Broncos in it at half-time, apparently, but the second half, all Manly, 34-10, the final.
Yeah, went to the break in front. I don't know how. As I've mentioned before, young Michael McLucas, I sit next to him at the games with season ticket holders, and I said, I don't know how we're leading this game. Manly had dominated us in the first 40. How they'd only scored one try, I don't know. The Broncos scored a try and a couple of Corey Parker penalty goals. Went to the halftime break in front, but the second half, the floodgates opened and Manly just too strong. strong on the back of a very strong performance by Anthony Watmau.
Yeah, you gave him 4 points in the NRL Tweet Player of the Year. Kieran Foran got a double for you as well. No surprise at all, DCE getting some votes as well. There's been a few things from the highlights that I've noticed, and I mean, obviously, a better indication is when you watch the whole game, but Brett Stewart pulled off some pretty nice things in this match.
Yeah, there was real glimpses of brilliance, and he wasn't far off me getting some NRL Tweet Player of the Year points from myself. But yeah, some an amazing pass where he chased for a kick and was tackled and just was able to flick a pass around, and some really good defensive plays. He chased down Alex Glenn as well, so he might be getting gradually back to his best.
So what do we make of the Broncos now? You've had three losses. There's no slump, but there's three losses in a row. We've discussed it a few times about, you know, resting those key players after Origin and how it was going to disrupt the momentum of the team. Do you think that it's going to be a case of let's just get through Origin, and then put our focus back into the football?
I really think that's Anthony Griffin, how he's viewed this period. I think he's decided we're better to take the hit now on the points and then try and get some momentum back into the run to the finals. Previous years, the Broncos have still been strong through that Origin period and still won enough games, and then the slumps come leading into the finals, and of course you need that momentum going into the finals. So Griffin's, I think, prepared to take a hit now, and hopefully it reaps rewards down the track. But you know, the injuries keep coming for the Broncos, which doesn't help. T.O. re-broke his arm, so
yeah,
He'll be out to at least round 20 or 21.
You do get Josh Hoffman back this week, which is a help. Obviously Lockyer and Thaiday will play. Interesting point with you on the table. You're now in sixth spot, but you did have the best defence in the league, but in the last few weeks you've gone from best to about the fourth best, I think, in the comp. And significantly, you are now 60 points worse off than the leading team, the Dragons. And my concern there is, I know you take out Lockyer, you take out Thaiday, etc., but to leak points like you have, that's my real concern. It's not so much on the attacking side of the ball.
Yeah, I totally agree, Wals. You know, there was such a good defensive performance against Melbourne without some of those stars, but the other night, and particularly against Penrith as well, when they did have the stars, that defensive unit, they didn't defend as a unit. It is a bit of a concern. Just quickly on Hoffman, did you hear the story where for the first 4 weeks they were treating the cork until they realised he'd actually had a broken leg?
Oh, wow. That's good for the old resume if you're the doctor at the Broncos.
That's right.
Well, good to hear him back. He's back, though. The cork's cleared up, obviously.
Yeah, the cork's on the mend, and let's hope the broken leg is too.
Indeed. So the other game, did you stick around for the next match, Bulldogs-Titans?
I stuck around. I wanted to get my money's worth.
The final score was 28 points to 6, the Bulldogs over the Titans. I know Gus was going on about it. I don't know if you ever saw the replay, but Gus was going on about, I've never seen a game like this. I've never seen a game like this. It's, one team can be going so close to score and be down 14-0 or whatever it was at half time. To be fair to the Titans, I didn't think they played fantastically well. I know they were over the try line a bunch of times, but I've got to give the VRF a rap. Every single decision was correct as far as I'm concerned.
Nailed it. Yeah, they were close. It was just a typical Titans performance there. They're not a bad side, but they're a long way off being a good side. So they're just very bland in how they play their football. They're going to go close to scoring tries, but yeah, they come up short plenty of times.
And
I guess the amazing start to the game, there's about five or six charge downs in the first 10 minutes.
And Canterbury reaped the benefits. They end up going up and winning the game 28-6, but I'm really worried about that game plan. It just does not include their attacking outside backs, and they got lucky against the Titans here, but you know, it could well have been, if they play like that against a good side, four straight losses for the old Dogs.
Yeah, exactly. It's nothing to write home about beating the Titans at the moment.
Indeed. So the next game on the schedule saw the Knights pip the Eels 8 points to 6. I missed this one. I was devouring copious amounts of meat at Tarasco in Sydney. Got to recommend it, mate. If there's one in Brisbane, get along to it. What happened in this match from what you saw?
Yeah, I only probably caught the last 20 to 15 minutes. From when I seen the match, I think it was 8-6 at that stage. It was just a fantastic defensive performance by the Knights. The Eels had their opportunities attacking in the last 10 or so minutes, but a couple of really good tackles from Kirk Gidley. Some real try-saving ball and all tackles saved the day for the Knights. And, you know, they're one of those sides I think we've discussed a few times this year. They, you know, they just keep digging in. They mightn't have the personnel there of some of the other teams, but it's always a team effort from the Knights, and as a supporter, you'd always walk away with your head held high.
Now, Wesna Grama got 8 points from this match in Errol Tweed Player of the Year. I believe he moved to fullback when Jared Mullen did his pectoral muscle. But the two big stories out of this for me, one is Joel Edwards hitting Jared Hain when he wasn't ready for it and just sending him into the next suburb. And the second one, 18,000 people on a night where it was not dry for 1 minute, was it?
No, absolutely not. No, it was a miserable night.
So pretty impressive effort from the Nova Castries. Looks like Tinkler's cheap tickets has definitely kicked in there. But if you haven't seen Joel Edwards hit Jared Hain, get on YouTube, search in the NRL YouTube account, which I give them credit for, they actually use, and it's a pretty fair hit. The other game on Saturday night saw the Cowboys 20, the Roosters 6. The Roosters just cannot get things going.
Not at all. The Roosters are in a bad way, unfortunately, and the Cowboys weren't real flash either, but they were just better than the Roosters.
Got to put this out there for you. Tariq Sims, is he definitely one that's got away from the old Broncos?
Like I've said, the Bronx didn't really want to lose him. The Cowboys, probably paid over the time. But he is playing good football. But I guess the danger is, Ashton at the same age was looking very, very promising.
Yeah, very good point. Speaking of promising, that Jonathan Thurston goes all right.
Yeah, he's going all right. He's had a bit of form. So, he's got a bit of ability, that kid.
Yeah, in the end, the Roosters scored a try late, but it was a bit of an arm wrestle, I think, early on. Half an hour, there wasn't a try, but Thurston steps up, get it done, and Gavin Cooper, filling in at the centres, never looks out of place. He's a good player, that Gavin Cooper.
Very, very solid player, Gavin Cooper. Spent some time at the Dolphins, too, so...
Yes, and then the next game on the weekend saw the Storm and the Sharks have a bit of an arm wrestle for a good 75 minutes before the Storm got the win in the end of the match. 14 points to 8. Look, it was an okay game of football, I guess, if you like tightly contested ones, but, it wasn't much of a real exhibition of attacking football.
No, not at all, and, many people are tipping a big win from the Storm, but this is the type of game where the Sharks, they come with a game plan just to try and shut the... probably not to win the game, just not to get Belford, and they did a good job.
Paul Gallen got all 8 points in the NRL Player of the Year. Look, he was fantastic on both sides of the ball, had a nice pass to Isaac Gordon for the Sharks' only try, but we've been saying this for a couple of years with Cronulla, he cannot be their most dominant player for him to go any further in the competition.
Yeah, no, if he's getting 8 points, there's hats off to Paul Gallen to get the full 8 points in a losing side, but if he's continuing your best player, you're not going to win games, you need a bit of support.
Yeah, you need the guys like Wade Graham and the like to step up, and that's not a blight on Paul Gallen at all. He's a great footballer, but they need more points than him, and at the moment they look like they've got nothing. The Melbourne Storm go through the motions, get the win, and I've got to give a rap to young Jason Bakuya. He looks like a bit of a prospect, that second row for the Sharks.
Yeah, absolutely, he looks very, very talented.
Just as well the Sharks don't have many back rowers on contract.
Only a thousand.
So the last game on Sunday saw the Dragons and the Tigers play at Wynn Jubilee. It was all Dragons in the first half, although the Tigers had started well. But a try right in half time that saw Brett Morris hurt his hamstring and putting himself in doubt for Origin number 2. 16-6 at half time, I think the score was. The Dragons ended up getting another try after half time and effectively put the game away, but the Tigers got a sniff late and, mate, they almost stole this.
Yeah, the Tigers, you can never write off the Tigers. They keep coming at you, but it was an interesting game. The St George always looked in control, but like we said, the Tigers kept coming at them.
Now, Mark Gasnier got all 8 points in the NRL Player of the Year because he probably made the bigger plays when he needed to. Ironically enough, didn't do that on Wednesday in the Origin, but the next probably five best players in the field were Tigers players, which I often sort of wonder with the Dragons. At the moment, there's no doubt at all they're the best team in the comp, deserve premiership favouritism, but I just want to see a little bit more from the likes of, Jamie Soward. Even Darius Boyd was pretty quiet in the day. When they've got to put teams away, I just want to see that ruthlessness come out, and it really wasn't there on the weekend.
No, it hasn't, and I'll be honest, last year I thought that was maybe what they lacked going in the grand final, a player that, they can really put a side away. They got away with last year, I have said they've gone up a gear again this year, but they still really struggle to put teams to sleep and put the contest out of the game, at the 60-minute mark, so they've the Tigers were still a chance due to the Dragons' lack of ability to put the game to rest.
Having said that, they did that a lot of times. They do often score 20 points in the last 20 minutes. They didn't do this in this one, but they're still 4 points clear on the premiership ladder, forcing at least one betting agency to say that they are locked in for the minor premiership. That one's interesting.
Yeah, a bit of publicity by the betting agencies. They all try and outdo each other with that now.
Yeah, we won't mention them. So the last game of the weekend was the Panthers 22, Rabbitohs 10. Your Rabbits cost you, mate.
Yeah, they are. I can't cop those Rabbits. But the Panthers, not a good performance. That's a couple of good performances in a row from, you know, they did lose last week, but, you know, the effort was there. And the effort was there again. If it wasn't for Dave Taylor, I think the Panthers could have won by a lot more.
Yeah, the thing about the Panthers for me is that when they get it right, they look like a very good football team, but they've got no flexibility whatsoever in their game plan. So if that go forward doesn't get on top very early and they hold on to the ball, then they're a rabble of the football side.
Oh, absolutely, and yeah, you're right. They're very, very structured, and if one piece of the plan doesn't come together, it just falls apart very, very badly.
Yeah, so in the end, they got up over the Bunnies, who were served well by a few players, Ben Ross, Luke, you mentioned before, Dave Taylor, and Eddie Pettibourne probably had his best game in a year, but it wasn't enough for the Rabbits, who lost another player, Dylan Farrell, to injury. Luke Lewis put his hand up for Origin, but again, the question becomes, if he comes in, who goes out? The Premiership ladder after 12 rounds, Dragons out in front, 22 points, then the Storm, Seagulls, and your Cowboys on 18. You know, it's still a sniff for that minor premiership you predicted at the start of the year, mate.
Yeah, don't worry. I need the Dragons to probably start losing some games, but they're going probably better than anyone except myself expected anyway.
And then there's a team that I think everyone has just conveniently forgotten. I know everyone's been saying that Manly's been going on the radar, but the Warriors are all of a sudden in fifth spot. They've got 7 wins and 4 losses. They started the season with 2 losses. They've just quietly gone about their business, and they're just on the edge of that top four. And you know, if they get a home semi-final come September, who knows what goes on there? Because, and if they somehow manage to get into the top two, I think they'd have all their finals games over there in Auckland.
Yeah, they would. That's how it would work out. And of course, very, very hard to beat at home, the Warriors. Yeah, you're exactly right. They're a team that is flying under the radar and not blowing teams away, which probably is leading people to just think, oh, well, just going through the motions. But them and Manly are form teams of the comp.
And then we've got the mediocre Brigade from about 7th to 16th. Don't read too much into where your team is at this stage of the season. About round 20, if your team's out of mathematical contention, then, yep, I've at least stepped back and say my season's over. But the way the top eight works, mediocrity can make it. So don't give up on your team in 2011. Now, the NRL Tweet Player of the Year points after 12 rounds. Well, Jonathan Thurston, mate, do we just give it to him now?
Let's close it off.
52 points. He's 17 points clear. Effectively two maximum point games ahead of Paul Gallen on 35. Benji Marshall's on 34. Jared Mullen, who won't play again probably this season, is on 31. And hasn't actually polled for the last 5 weeks, giving you an indication of how well he started. And my man Cameron Smith's on 30, followed by a whole bunch of players. If you want to check out the top 25, you can head over to wdnicholson.com. And you can check out the top 25 there. There's a couple of names that might surprise people. William Zielman's in the top 25. Sean Fensham is there as well. And we are neglecting the main reason we wanted to review round number 12, and that's Chris Sando finally putting in a more consistent performance than what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years from him.
Back to the form that we expect from young Chris, but all over the place. Parramatta would be feeling a bit nervous.
It was a pretty ordinary performance. He just didn't seem on. I think he went for about 40,000 shoulder charges again. Dropped one Cole just on the first one off the ruck. You just knew that the Bunnies were going to struggle if that was one of the nights for him. But I will give him credit, and the reason I bring it up is, look, he's had 6 or 7 really good weeks of football, better than what we thought he was capable of. And, you know, give him credit that he's been able to put that form on the board. But it's really important for him this week. I think they play in the Storm that he comes out and has a good game against Cooper Cronk, because the last thing you want
is... Interesting to see how he bounced back this week.
If he doesn't bounce back, you just wonder about the confidence and, all the gains that he's made, maybe lost. Look, after the break, we'll come back with more... Or later on in the show, sorry, we'll come back with more Matty Duncan on Not The Footy Show. Stick around, Matt.
We'll go.
Not The Footy Show. Show?
The Eels.
What we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell played third game in a preseason like it's book? We played them the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The
Eels
are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown them.
Eels.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Kiss it on.
Wow.
Not the footy show. Show?
G'day everyone, Not the Footy Show episode 65 continues. Maria Cialis from Big League Magazine is on the line. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, afternoon actually.
Well, afternoon. Hello. Well, this morning, the reason I said this morning is you were over there at Leichhardt Oval, the Lilyfield Rectangle as it's now called, at a little launch of something. Do you want to tell us what that was about?
Yeah, Women in League Round is in a couple of weeks, round 16. So the NRL had a bunch of very influential women in the NRL at a morning tea. Everything was very pink. There was a pink carpet that you walked up on, which was nice, and a few of the West Tigers boys were serving everybody cakes and things like that in their little pink aprons and their pink jerseys, which was nice.
Tell me you got a photo with that.
Sorry, everyone?
Tell me you got a photo with that.
Oh, there are many, many photos. They'll be popping up tomorrow. They're quite cute.
Indeed.
I'm doing a story on Lottie and Beck Tikiri,
okay.
His wife, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah, and she, we had a great chat with her. She's a psychologist, so very, very intelligent and eloquent, and talked to me about dispelling the myth that a lot of people have about, you know, WAGs and what it's like to date a footballer and what footballers are really like, which
okay.
is also something that I've experienced, so it's quite interesting.
And she's been all around the world with Lottie as well, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. Yeah, they're originally from Queensland, but obviously there was Union and all that kind of stuff, and they've got two kids now, so just in Sydney for now, but we'll see what happens, I suppose.
Okay, so Women in League Round is round 16. Does the NRL have anything planned for that round that's worth noting?
Well, 9 clubs have got on board with the pink jerseys, so we saw some of them today. It was Manly and the Dragons. Parramatta have got a nice jersey, the Pink Panthers, of course,
yep.
and a few other clubs. So there's that, and everything's in conjunction with the McGrath Foundation. So they're hoping everybody will turn up in pink to the games and donate some money for breast cancer awareness and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Excellent. So that's round 16, everybody. That's in approximately 3 weeks' time. So Women in League round is then, but a couple of days ago you happened to pop up to Suncorp Stadium for your first Origin game as a Blues supporter in enemy territory. Do you want to take us through the Origin experience at Suncorp?
It's very loud. I've been at big crowds at ANZ, obviously in the grand final and Origin there, but it's just sort of in that shape where you can really hear everything very loudly, which was exciting, and it was quite funny. Darren Lockyer ran out and everybody got on their feet and clapped for him, and I was just like, God, imagine that, running out to 60,000 people who were just applauding the hell out of you because you're amazing. Awesome. I've got to say, for the 40 seconds that New South Wales was in front, it was probably one of the happiest feelings I've had for quite a while, so I'm hoping that they can change out the fortune
and
finally win a bloody game in game 2.
Yeah, it'd be nice. If you had the selector's hat on, do you make any changes for game 2?
I think I'd probably bring in Kekulé or Luke Lewis. Unfortunately, I don't think there's space enough for both of them. I think they'll probably bring Kekulé in for Dean Young, who, I don't know, during that first 20-minute period wasn't that effective, I don't think.
Yeah.
I thought Michael Ennis, when he came on, was really getting everyone moving, so probably do that. If Leroy Lars plays well, maybe he should get a bench spot, but I don't know if anybody on the bench did enough to sort of warrant that.
Okay, so about Queensland, do you think Greg Inglis will be back? I mean, he's been named this weekend, but if he doesn't get through this weekend, Queensland are a bit of a bind for a centre spot, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. I don't even know where they'd go to from there, but I think he'll play. I really do, and it's good for Dane Nelson as well to get another chance there. I miss Justin Hodges, though. I miss him a lot. I miss his hostility and his, he's fine as New South Wales supporter, though.
He does, doesn't he? He's one of those guys. As much as everybody complains that Greg Inglis ended up going to play for Queensland, he's not that kind of character, whereas Justin Hodges certainly doesn't back away from it. So, Blues, they lost 16-12 game one. Do you think they win game two?
I think they do, yeah. I think, although, the hard part about it is, after New South Wales had scored to get in front, you kind of have the feeling that Queensland were just sort of like, oh, whatever. You know, we're not fast at all. So they really need to get in front. They really need to dominate. I mean, their forwards didn't get a lot of ball, unfortunately, and that really, really did not help. So they need to dominate, and they need to get to a healthy lead if they're going to scare the Queenslanders.
And hopefully we get a crowd of 80,000 there at ANZ. In 2 Wednesdays' time. Do you know what the crowd figure is at the moment? Do you know how many seats are available by any chance?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, but I think they're about the 65,000 mark, something like that.
Okay, so they'll break whatever they had last year in terms of a crowd.
Yeah, well, I think they definitely should. I mean, considering how the team performed as well, it's not like they performed badly. So, yeah, you'd be hoping, right?
Okay, now... Speaking of Origin football, today a bit of a news came out that City Country is going to be played at Mudgee in central west New South Wales in May 2012. Would you be likely to get the tap on the shoulder from the big league honchos and say, head out to Mudgee, Maria?
You know what? They like to send a reporter there, so possibly.
Because it's actually not too far from Sydney, to be honest. It's not like the 8 or 9 hours to Albury, so, you know, Mudgee might be a decent little trip for you.
Yeah, could be nice.
And they've got a new sports grant, apparently, that's cost $10 million for the state government, so that would be why they've got the gig. So everybody, City Country is in Mudgee next year. Now, if everyone remembers, Phase 1 of Not the Footy Show's Fantasy League was won by the Slowpokes. Do you know who operated the Slowpokes in the first phase?
A really, really cool chick. I think her name's Maria.
Yeah, it could be. She won Phase 1 by, I think, about 8 to 10 points, and she will walk away with some sort of league paraphernalia, as long as I can get what she wants. Now, the second phase has begun, and I've got bad news for you, Maria. You're in 10th spot.
Oh, that's not good.
No, you've got a lot of way to make up, and I'm just having a look here, just feeling, say whatever you like for a while I look it up. There we go. Oh, look who's out in front. Oh, it can't be.
No. It's not you, is it?
Oh, the Dixie Ice Cream's refrozen. Out in front with 92 points.
Oh, wow.
20 points ahead of the Slowpokes. 87 SCG Taxi for Mr. Steve Maven are on 84 points, and Sports First are on 84 as well. My Origin was extremely kind to me. I had Mitchell Pearce, I had Billy Slater, I had Jonathan Thurston. It made a big difference.
I can't actually remember who's in my side.
Well, no one can. The Excel program that I had to create it all, it's been a bit of an annoyance this last week or so I've been working through hard. All the teams will be up on wdnicholson.com in the next few days, and you'll be able to check how you're travelling in terms of the players on your field. You know what your score is, that's up, the table's up, but the actual teams that you've got. Did you have Thurston, or did you go with Jamie Soward?
I think I went Thurston this
time. Yeah, basically every team in contention has Jonathan Thurston, who is carving up, yeah. And by the looks of things, has got another Dally M ready for him to get being grave, because he's carving up that as well.
Yeah, actually someone at work pointed that out yesterday. I mean, there's still so many rounds to go, and he's so close to what Todd Carney got last year, so quite interesting.
He's going to be very hard to beat. Now, you're tipping 6 from 7 last week, and the Broncos cost you a 7 from 7. What's doing there?
Oh, you know what? I wrote a story 3 weeks ago about how good the Broncos won. How good the Broncos are. And I seem to have put the marker on them, unfortunately, because they lost.
I don't think it's you. I don't think it's you, but I think it's well, we can blame you, I guess.
Yeah,
if you want to send your complaints care of MC Ellison on Twitter. Look, the Broncos, they've made a decision. They're going to rest their key Origin players. I understand it completely. We made the point a few weeks ago that the rhythm was always going to get stopped within that side, and they're going to have to struggle through Origin to get through afterwards. Remember, they were basically the top team in the league before representative season came around, so they've set themselves up where they can afford to do this. And I think you will be proven somewhat correct after Origin. I think they'll make a run to the finals, but I'm still not sure if they can win the comp. But, you know, that's the thing. I think Anthony Griffin's managing Lockyer. It's his last season. It's a smart decision, and I believe this Friday night could be Lockyer's last club game in Sydney.
That's correct, yeah, because the next time they play in Sydney is against Parramatta, and they'll be preparing for Origin 3, so he'll be in camp with Queensland.
Okay, now, people may be able to read that in big league by any chance?
Possibly. You know, I really believe that the Broncos are going to win this year's competition, actually.
Ooh, big comment.
I'm not going to say lesser men, but men who haven't reached the status of someone like Lockyer have gone out winners. So I think that it's going to be one of those fairy tale deals this year.
Okay, very, very good. Now, speaking of fairy tale stuff, Big League Magazine, I don't know where the segue is there, but I'll go with it. round number 13 is this weekend. What's in Big League this week?
We've got Robbie Farah talking about. I don't know, if you remember this time last year, actually, they were coming up against the Knights, and they were sort of in the same predicament they are now. You know, sort of a precarious position, and there was a lot of talk off the field about stuff and fighting and whatever. But, Robbie Farah talks about how they're digging deep and hoping to get to that, because in the last part of the season especially, they were just great last year, so they're hoping to refine that. I talked to Terry Campisi and also the rehab man at the Raiders, Lee Woodridge, and Terry's great. Like, he's a great character, and he talked about how bored he was and how sick he was of rehab people's faces after training them every day. And he told me he may not be picked because he needed to sit down with the coaching staff and all of that, but I'd wager my money that he's going to make an appearance this weekend.
Yeah, I think if you have comments like, I was bored silly of the rehab people, you think the first chance he gets, he's going to be taking it with both hands. Hasn't been named for the Raiders, but I expect him to play against the Cowboys on Sunday. It's a day game, so the ground should be relatively okay. It won't be slippery and all that kind of stuff that he'd be worried about with that knee reconstruction, and the Raiders get a big boost. Now, the problem for the Raiders is where they fit him into the team, because Matt Orford's still not available. He suffered a virus, I think, this week, and has been pulled out. That leaves Sam Williams, Josh McCrone. One of those two is going to make way for Campisi. Or do you think there's a chance that Campisi might start on the bench this week?
I believe that Sam Williams will probably drop back to Toyota Cup.
No!
He'll be better for it, so don't worry. And I think Terry and Josh McCrone will probably just stick in the half. And I don't know about Matt Orford. I don't know if they... You know, Josh McCrone, particularly in the past couple of wins that the Raiders have had, he's been really good. I don't think you could just drop him. I don't think it's fair, just for someone who's a bit more senior, I suppose. But, has had difficulty and hasn't really shown much since he's signed with the club, so...
Well, you're probably speaking to the wrong person to try and convince someone that Josh McCrone's a good footy player, but I think what frustrates me is, within the McCrone argument, is that... Yeah, he played all right in game one. Then Canberra lost 8 games, which Orford played about 3. All of a sudden, Canberra won 2 games, and now Josh McCrone's the saviour. It's not like Orford played under the same setup that I can see Canberra playing with at the moment. That's my main concern. And my big question really is, you're heading into the semi-finals. You've got to choose two of Orford, Campisi, McCrone, and Williams. I think it's a no-brainer for me. You've got to go with the two veteran players.
So who are you putting in there?
So I'd be playing Orford and Campisi without a doubt. If you're trying to win a competition, I think you got to back your two veteran guys. They didn't bring Matt Orford in for a holiday, as much as he may have looked like he has had one of those for Canberra. And yeah, they don't sign him if they thought that Josh McCrone was up for it this year. I don't think you'd see them sign Matt Orford. That's my opinion on that aspect for the Raiders. Speaking of which, they've got to still make the finals, and I think the Cowboys will get them this weekend. Now, getting your tips for round number 13. It's a full round for the first time in a few weeks. Sharks, Broncos, Friday night.
Broncos.
Yeah, you got to keep going with them, don't you? Now you've called them the Premiership heavyweights. Eels and Dragons.
Oh God, Dragons.
Even though they've got a few injuries, they're still going to have the Eels covered. Who? I didn't see the game Saturday night, but man, they're the only game that I got wrong. I'm not a happy camper with Parramatta. Titans
they
versus...
They were awful.
Sorry,
they were awful against the Knights.
Titans and Panthers.
That's going to be a difficult one. The Titans were very unlucky on Friday night. And I really like Cardi. So I'm just going to go for the Titans to make him happy.
Very good. Yeah, there is dead set some theatre when you watch him on the sideline in any Titans loss, or win for that matter. Bulldogs and Seagulls. This is on Saturday night. Will you be going to this one?
Unfortunately, I have something on, so I'll be at a pub with my eyes glued to the screen. However, the Bulldogs have been playing terribly over the past few weeks. Mainly going to annihilate them, but I will still be tipping the Bulldogs.
Very, very good. Now, you are only one tip behind me in the table this year, and you're fifth on the panel. So I wouldn't be throwing away tips unless you're really, really, really devoted to those Bulldogs. Roosters.
I've got to do it. Okay. Yeah, no, I've got to go.
Roosters and Warriors. This is also on Saturday.
You know, I can see the Roosters getting up for it and getting that win, but the Warriors have really been playing well lately, so I'm going to go with the Roosters for the upset.
Ooh, very good. Raiders and Cowboys? Yeah.
Cowboys.
South Sydney versus Melbourne.
Melbourne. God. they're not very inspiring games, are they?
No, they're not. The Monday night game might be all right. I know Jared Mullen's out for the season pretty much with a pectoral tear. I believe he got a second opinion on that, and they said just be very, very careful. It's not a six-week injury. Tigers and Knights, this is at Leichhardt.
I'll go for the Tigers, I think.
Yeah, they got some big names back with Dakiri and Gareth Ellis returning. Now, that's us for the week, Maria Cialis. And I meant to ask, is there anything that you guys have got cooking for the State of Origin 2 guide?
Yes, we have. We're looking at Mitchell Pearce, actually, for the cover story. Considering he's still sort of soldering. You know what? Another thing about that Origin game, what I can't work out, is why Mitchell Pearce was taking the long kicks in the first half instead of Jamie Soward.
Yeah, I must have been something about Jamie Soward not being good enough at kicking game or something. That mustn't have been why they picked him in the side. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just thinking, I was so confused. Anyway, back on Mitchell. We're talking to Mitchell and hoping to get a Ricky Stewart sort of question and answer session in terms of New South Wales. And we'll cook up some Queensland stuff, which should be easy because they're all brilliant players.
Very much so. Well, Maria Cialis, good to chat to you again. And everybody, look out for Women in League round in a couple of weeks' time. That's round 16. Maria Cialis, thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Not the footy
show. All right, as touched on by Maria Cialis in the segment just a second ago, Not the Footy Show's Fantasy League for Phase 2 is well underway. Now, yes, the Dixie Ice Creams Refrozen are out in front. They have a grand total of, let me just have a look on the site, 92 points after the rounds 10, 11 and 12 plus Origin 1. They're out in front, they're 8 points clear. But I have to give a special mention to Raucus Curley. That's Annalise, you may know her as Will You Say Okay on Twitter. She finished dead last in phase number 1, was devastated with her team. They just couldn't get things going. But she is actually scoring points in phase number 2. So congratulations, Annalise. They're on 52 points. You are 40 points behind me, but it's a long period. Origin double points, remember, so you may indeed catch me. Her team, I just thought I'd take you through it. She's got Brett Stewart at fullback, Will Hopper-Wade, Joseph Lalia, Matt Cooper, Antonio Winterstein, Lockyer Hodgkinson, who's suspended, Hyington, Taylor, Hannant Farah, Jamie Bura, and Benji Marshall is a kicker. So she doesn't have Jonathan Thurston, which if anybody has been following the website knows, if you don't have JT in this phase, you are probably going to struggle. But Annalise, congratulations, you won't finish last this phase. Well, I don't think you'll finish last. And just a tapping update in an NRL tweet / Not the Footy Show's tipping competition. After 12 rounds, Fabs, you know her, Fabs EO5, I think it is on Twitter, some variation of that. She is out in front. She's got 66 total tips correct this season. She has got a bunch of bonuses, though. To be fair, I'm just saying that because I'm well behind her. She is currently on 66 points ahead of Dragon Girl Amanda on 65. Then we've got Nathan and Stephen on 64 each. Rounding out the top eight is Tiger Man, Sammy on 63. Bill Chew's got less than no idea. I know him, so I can say that. He's on 62. And then Croc Hunteress and Nigel are on 61 points apiece. No sign of any of the Not the Footy Show boys. What's doing, lads or girls? And you can check out how that's going over there via Twitter at NRL Tweet. There's your update on our fantasy and tipping comps, the race of the Steeden. And I will point this out, I have it in my hands. I'm just going to reach for it over here. Thanks to sportingbet.com.au, they've given us a Brisbane Broncos signed football. And we'll be giving this away as part of the deal. I think It may be only fair that it goes to the fantasy league who scores the most points over all three phases. We're going to be giving away T-shirts for the phase leaders, but this beautiful football, that, thanks to Sportingbet, we're going to pass it on as a prize to the person who has the most points after all three phases of Not the Footy Show's Fantasy League. So if you haven't entered, you're probably not going to win it, but if you have, make sure you enter Phase 3 as well. That kicks off in Round 19, and there's more Not the Footy Show after the break on Episode 65, the Round 13 preview.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
Why do you eat so fast? You can't even taste it!
Boys and girls, welcome to round 13 of Isa's Tips. Bruce is here too.
Excellent. Well, we've got round 13 coming up, and there's 8 games to tip from this week, Isa and Boots. It didn't go too badly last week, but I reckon we can do better this week.
Am I in front?
No, I'm way ahead.
Ah!
All right. On Friday night, the Broncos play the Sharks.
Broncos.
As always, Boots just copies eyes. Eels and Dragons?
Dragons.
We've got the Titans and the Panthers.
Panthers.
The Bulldogs and the Seagulls?
Seagulls.
The Roosters and the Warriors?
Roosters.
The Raiders and the Cowboys?
The Raiders! I think the Raiders!
And the Canberra Raiders.
Okay, Rabbitohs versus Storm?
Rabbitohs.
We've got the Tigers against the Knights. What do you think, Boots? And so who are you going to go for?
Tigers.
All right, there's a voice from the deep that also said Tigers. So there's Isa's and Boots' tips for round number 13. And, yes, we will speak to you next week, boys and girls. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce.
What a chop.
A chip?
No, a top.
A tip. A tip for what, Brew?
The Footy Brew.
All right, on the Footy Show continues. We've got Nick McInerney on the line after going MIA last week. But his tipping certainly isn't MIA. Nick McInerney, 6 from 7 on the weekend. You are currently way out in front in Not the Footy Show's tipping comp of the panel, the experts, that is. What's the secret, champ?
Oh, I don't know what the secret is, mate. I think I've been just a little bit blessed this year. I'm tipping one thing, maybe. I don't take any time really looking at the ladder. I look at maybe the last 2 weeks of performances, the changes in the roster, and then I just go with my guts, really. The home ground advantage has been working pretty well for me, and if I stuck to it, I would have had 7 from 7 this week, but I gave one away with the Rabbitohs, damn bunny.
It's funny enough that you give all those reasons for why you're tipping so well. And if you were to go straight into your tips for round 13, would have you actually done any of that?
I have done absolutely no cross-checking. I'm going in pretty blind, but, you know, we can talk about who's in and out, and I've got a fair idea of how teams have been going in the last few weeks. So.
All right, well, Friday night, we've got the Broncos visiting the Sharks, Darren Lockyer's last game in Sydney until probably the semi-finals. Do you give the Sharks any hope?
The last game in Sydney, there you go. So they're playing all the outside of Sydney teams for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think the other game in Sydney they have is against the Eels, but he'll be on Origin duty. Obviously, he plays Origin 2 in Sydney, but in terms of a club game, this would be it until the semi-finals.
I think the Broncos are absolute specials in this one. Get their full roster back, and they'll be burning after last week and a couple of lower than Broncos par performances.
Yeah, going pretty average, but the Sharks are the Sharks. They had a bit of a good go against the Storm, but they just can't score points. So that's their biggest concern. Broncos for me as well. Now, Eels and Dragons, this is the other Friday night game. Your Dragons got a few injuries, but it's practically still the premiership-winning side going up against the Eels, who cost me a tip on the weekend.
Yes, they did. Those mighty Eels. You know, you wanted to back them, but that's maybe one other thing that I've tried to do as best as possible this season. Take away all loyalties and all those feelings of emotion that are attached to these teams. No matter how much I want one of these teams to win, I put all that aside and try to pick who I think is going to win. And those Eels, I really do want to see them play well, but they have just shown me nothing pretty much all year. So you got to lock in the Dragons by fill in the blank, how many? 13 plus at least for the Dragons this week.
Yeah, got the Dragons as well. They should be too good. Now, Titans and Panthers is a tough game to pick. Panthers pretty impressive against the Rabbits. The Titans just couldn't get the ball over the line and actually onto the ground against the Bulldogs. So who do you like?
Well, I think Titans are one of those other teams that have, they just haven't lived up to their potential this season. And with Luke Lewis back and playing extremely well, I think the Panthers are looking really solid. I'm going to back the Panthers in this one.
I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go with the Titans at home. Surely they can't go as badly luck-wise as they did against the Dogs. Scott Francis, he's playing all right. I was impressed by that young rookie, Matt Strama.
He was amazing.
Who looked like Nathan Friend, just not quite as good defensively. It was practically the headgear, but let's not get that in the way of the story. There's a few concerns for the Titans. Steve Michaels, William Zillman, head knocks, they should play. Look, the Panthers were good, but they're good in... They play a certain way. They roll up the middle. If they roll up the middle, then the likes of Coot and Lewis and Walsh can work off the back of that. But if the Titans hold the Panthers in the middle and the Panthers make some errors, then this is the Titans' game for me, so I'll stick with the home team and go with the Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty close one. I'm definitely not picking the Panthers by a million. I'd only take them by, I reckon, just a cheeky 4 points.
Indeed. Now, the other big Saturday night game sees the Bulldogs and the Manly Seagulls play. No Trent Hodkinson for the Bulldogs. That's a big omission for them. He's been suspended for 2 weeks for a cheap shot against the Titans. Now, the Manly Seagulls, they have lost Brent Kite, which is a bit of a loss up front. And they've got a bit of doubt over Jason King and George Rose. So they could be a little bit light up front. But having said that, the Bulldogs won't have Aiden Tolman, which is a big loss for them. Greg Eastwood's no certainty with an eye injury. A few concerns, bumps and bruises for guys like David Stagg. I'm going to stick with Manly. But I like Josh Reynolds. I like the look of him. And he's playing halfback this week. If he's open to giving the ball out to that back line for the Bulldogs, then the Bulldogs are very much in it.
Yeah, well, that's the key, isn't it? But they never do spread the ball out to the back line, particularly on the left-hand side. Poor Josh Morris. Don't even know why he's there. He might as well sit on the bench. But Manly, wow. Last week's performance in the last couple of weeks, they've been so solid. Not losing a lot of players, or if any at all, really, except Jason King that I can think of off the top of my head to Origin probably helps. But, wow, they're starting to play some really good football, and I reckon top four massive contenders. I think I've
got
to take Manly in this one. I just don't like what I see from the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have to pick Manly. But as I said, Bulldogs, they could surprise here. Manly, I've always been a little bit sort of a belief that at some point they're going to have a down week. Maybe whether the Bulldogs are good enough to take advantage of that. Now, the Warriors will play the Roosters in Sydney on Saturday night as well. The Roosters, a bit disappointing. And they turned things around to a degree against the Knights. Went up to North Queensland, got dusted by Jonathan Thurston. The Warriors won't have Lance O'Hire, but they look pretty strong across the park. Roosters are underdogs. Who do you like?
Well, the Roosters are just... Oh, my gosh. I really want to see those guys play well. Carney and Pierce and... Oh, mate, because they would just put us in such a good place for the Origin. But they have... Oh, they've been so under par this year. I think you've got to take the Warriors in this one, even though they're not at home. They've been so solid. Dark horses for a top four position in general. I think they're just consistently going about their business. I think the Warriors will probably do it pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I've got the Warriors as well. Just the front row, forward pack for the Roosters is just not going as well this year. They can't hold teams in the middle. And that's why you're not seeing the likes of Carney, Pierce and Nasta do their magic. Sunday we've got Canberra with Tom Leroy, Lars and Joe Picker returning. Picker actually played the last game, but Leroy Lars is back. Terry Campese may be a late inclusion, which means there could be no Josh McCrone, and that's deciding it for me. They're up against the Cowboys. Look, if Terry Campese comes into the team for Josh McCrone, I'll pick Canberra. But if Josh McCrone stays in the 17, then I've got to pick the Cowboys. So you know what's going to happen.
Well, it is in Canberra, though. That's the thing. It's always hard for him to go there, especially the Cowboys coming from their climate. But, man, JT has just been in sparkling form. I think I'd have to be a bitting man to be going against the Cowboys in this one. I'm going to take the Cowboys, but like you say, if Campese comes back, if Leroy Lars coming back, Canberra have got to be a massive chance. Close game, taking the Cowboys.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't pick Canberra. Josh McCrone will still be in the 17 by kickoff, so give me the Cowboys. Now, the other game on Sunday sees South Sydney host the Melbourne Storm. Melbourne haven't been particularly impressive in recent weeks, but the Bunnies, they're struggling. A lot of players out with injury. They lost another couple. Dylan Farrell's out for a long period with a leg injury. Greg Inglis does come back into the side, which helps them, but yeah, I think it's all signs point to a Melbourne Storm victory.
Yeah, I think nothing but a Melbourne carve-up in this one. The Rabbits, I thought they were going to get it for me in the perfect round this week, but man, that almost knock on, and everyone sort of stood still and they just switched off, didn't do the right thing. Just simple errors like that. They just seem to lack that real professionalism for 80 minutes. And man, if you do that against a Storm, they will just put 1,000 points back. You have to come back and Billy Slater hat-trick, put him in your fantasy captain, and they will win 13 plus in that one.
Indeed. Now, on a Monday night, pretty good matchup here. I know Jared Mullen is probably out for at least 10 weeks, if not the season, with a pectoral injury. It hurts the Knights. They have moved Kurt Gilley to halfback. Wes Nagama goes to fullback, but the Tigers, they get Lottie Tkiri and Gareth Ellis back from injury for this, as well as Keith Galloway. I can't find myself picking the Knights. I'm going with the Tigers.
Well, who's at home?
The Tigers.
Oh, even better. Well, that's so depressing about Mullen. He's been in pretty good form this year, and pretty crucial, but Gidley will probably do a pretty good role, and Nagama playing fullback's not bad either. He's a very solid footballer. But wow, those inclusions for the Tigers are massive. The only thing that scares me is that I'm never big to jump on the back of these guys coming back. I think generally, as a rule, they always come back a little bit too early and a bit underdone. But when you put three of them all back in the side like that, whoa, the Tigers will be kicking themselves if they can't beat Newcastle without Mullen as well, so I think
you
got to take the Tigers.
Okay, now we need your special fried rice. I think you have third pick this week. Is that correct?
I think I had last time, did I not?
Yeah, so you'd be back to... Because I had first, I go to last pick, so I need three teams for your special fried rice, Nicholas.
Three teams, eh? Well, the first one, let's look in the Storm.
Yep.
For the second one, let's lock in the Dragons. Who am I liking for the third one? Maybe Brisbane, I think, is the third option.
Okay, well, you'll get one of those three, that's for sure. Because we have to get tips from Matt and Dave in the rest of their special Friday. Now, mate, we had a bit of adding something to the show this week, a bit of culture with Nick and Woz. So here's our theme song, and we're back after that with our cultural review of Churrasco, Brazilian Bar and Grill.
Stay tuned.
Culture with Nick and Woz on Not the Footy Show. Peter Harvey. Okay, rock. So Saturday night, Nicholas, we went out, we celebrated your birthday at a little haunt called Churrasco, I don't know how you say it. It's Brazilian for meat. Is that how it goes, mate?
I think that's pretty much the accurate translation. There is more meat than you can take a stick out, quite literally.
We went down there for your birthday, as I said, a whole group of us, and $35, reasonable fare. We basically got fed so much red meat that I still haven't eaten anything since.
Wanda was having massive meat sweats, people.
It wasn't massive. They were moderate.
Moderate? Only moderate meat sweats? I don't know, I think he's underselling it. But yeah, like you say, $35, all you can eat. Some of the most choice cuts of meat you've ever seen in your life. It is amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. They had tail of some description. I don't know what it was. Wallaby, I don't know. It was some sort of beef. But the way that they cooked it, and they had these little condiments on the side. Basically, people, they go around with these plates of meat, and you get one slice of it. It's about, I don't know, the size of a Tic Tac. Oh, a bit more than a Tic Tac box. A bit more than that.
Yeah.
Roughly. And they put it on your plate, and you've got some things you put on it. But it's all about just savouring the flavour of the meat. It's not so much that you're getting such a huge quantity at once that you just sort of spend 15 minutes ploughing through. You get bit after bit after bit, and they come round every 5-10 minutes. The only disappointing thing was we thought there was going to be chicken, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's only the chicken sausage. We must have missed out on the rotation on the chicken, but they do come out for a solid 2 hours, so there's plenty of eating there, people.
And they only had the pork belly out once, and I'm a bit of a fan of the old crackle, so a bit disappointed, but when we walked out, you know, there was 1,000 people waiting to get in for the 8 o'clock session. So if you're going to go, people, there's two sessions, I think. A 6 o'clock session and an 8 o'clock session, and you have to book. Is that right, Nick?
That's right. You've got to book ahead. This place will pack out in minutes.
Okay, so that's at William Street in the city. Woolloomooloo, I think, is actually the technical term, just down from King's Cross. But, yeah, it was a good feed. Recommend you go down there. I must admit, if there was one dish that disappointed me, it was the chili beef. It wasn't chili at all, it was just really average, I thought.
The flavour of the chili, not the spice, without the knocking your socks off.
I want knocking socks off, man. That's what I'm after when I get the old chili. They did have one thing that you raved about before we went in, and that was cinnamon pineapple. How does that work?
Low-cooked pineapple with the cinnamon sprinkled all over it. The combination melts in your mouth. It's amazing.
Okay, so if you haven't checked it out, it's called Churrasco Brazilian Grill, and it is in William Street in the city. So there's our cultural... look on Not the Footy Show. I think we'll have to work on one for next time, mate.
About as cultured as we get eating a whole bunch of meat.
Culture with Nick and Watts on Not the Footy Show. Peter Harvey. Okay, I'm wrong. Now, we have to get something from you before we go, and I have completely forgotten what it was. What do I have to get from you, Nick?
Oh, well, I think that's a bit of a recommendation. There's this podcast out there you may have heard of, and all you people would have, because you're listening to it currently, but the listening audience is growing. It's up to a couple of hundred people, and we're starting to see the interviews are going through the roof. There's some pretty well-known characters coming up, and we just think if you like this show, all you have to do is tell one mate about it, they tell another mate, and in the space of a couple of months, we'll be going through the roof. So, if you like this show and you love Woz and the rest of his crew, get onto it, tell your mates, and we'll see if we can't get the production value maybe lifting from mildly entertaining to wholesomely entertaining.
Oh, really? Yeah, we get about anywhere from 250 to 500 downloads a week, everybody, so we're pretty happy with that number, but as Nick says, if you just tell one person, you know, who knows, we might get into four figures, and then things can really happen on the show. Nick McInerney, before we disappear, we had a bit of a competition on Not the Footy Show before Origin 1. And the decision was basically we had to figure out who could predict what happened in the game. Do you remember this?
Oh, I certainly do.
Now, from memory, how did you travel? Did you get any right or not?
I honestly can't remember.
Well, I did a bit of a look around, and I've had a look through, and we had a bunch of responses, but the highest number of people who got some votes, and I've got to actually figure out what the actual tally was, but Tyler is in contention. He had last try scorer Billy Slater from Origin 1. He had Sowards got the runs with under. He had Ennis's brain snap technically, I guess, between the 21st and 80th minute. I know I got Cameron Smith as man of the match. We had nobody else really hit the mark with any of the other calls, so I'm going to put it out there that my man of the match call may actually have won the tournament for me, or at least shared the title with Tyler, and there is a chance that somebody else might be there. And let's just have a look here. And in fact it looks like there's about five people that have ended up at even spot. The Raven and also Trent Lind picked up correct tips as well for the exact score that New South Wales either finished on, which was 12, or the margin, which was 4. So, just to remind you, our three exotics were Sowards got the runs over under 3.5. It was under. Where does Michael Ennis's brain snap? 21 to 80 minutes, or under 20 minutes. Well, technically, I guess it was over 21 minutes because he didn't get in the field of the 27th and knocked on with his second touch. And then the third one was, will third man thigh day be third man thigh day? You bet your house he was.
Third man thigh day.
Oh, could have sealed the deal. That's a pretty big call right there, bagging the man of the match.
Mate, we have to leave it there. You've got to go off to an important meeting for your soccer club. Enjoy.
Yep. Thank you very much, sir. Pleasure.
And, if you want to follow Nick's tips, it was carving up. They can get them at wdnicholson.com. And just before we go, the last point I wanted to make was that I had a chat with good old Will Dines. You know Will Dines, our mate?
Oh, we love Will Dines.
He was going pretty well in the tipping comp, and I ran into him last week and on Friday night, and we were talking about who we'd picked for round number 12, and he told me, he said, this is the week, Woz. I've got to go for upsets. This is the week. He ended up with 2 from 7, and I think that's the end of his challenge for the year.
Oh, big mistake, Will. Big mistake. Go with the formula you've been going with the whole year, mate. No need to change that up.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you've got to do, people. Listen to Nick McInerney. He has the tipping skill this year. Somehow I passed it on to him. I don't know how that worked, but he's doing very well. So we'll speak to you next week, mate.
The key is to go and get a pet octopus and just, you know, put the teams out in front of him.
And if that fails, just eat it.
Win-win.
Not the footy show. Show?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
So, mate, Duncan's back on the line to close out a Not the Footy Show episode 65, the round 13 preview. Now, mate, you heard a little bit of a talk in the media today that Origin might be played on a Monday. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think they're just throwing up the idea at the moment to move the Origin to Monday to try and give players a greater rest, the players, so that they can back up the following week and try and cut down on injuries and fatigue. Interesting. Look, it's a good enough product. You could play at, you know, at midnight on a Tuesday or whatever. It'd still be a good product. But I think, you know, they've dabbled with Sundays before. I just think Wednesdays work really well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I think Cameron Smith came out in the press as well today on Sky Sports Radio here in Sydney, and he said that, you know, why can't we just reduce the competition by 4 weeks and claim those weekends for the Origin and Test matches? It's a pretty compelling argument, really.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense, but I think it comes down to the dollars that would go begging from the respective TV companies.
Don't. No, please, come on. What's going on there? You're telling porky pies, Matty Duncan. Mate, the next thing I wanted to bring up was I was cruising Facebook today and in our old Facebook page, which is really well updated, and the rest of it is up to about 330,000 or 370,000 users on Facebook. And they made a point that they said, oh, please keep us supported as the most recognised or most Facebook-supported brand of Australian sporting codes on Facebook. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a fair ask, but if you're going to have this much effort into Facebook, why the heck do they ignore Twitter?
It seems very strange, doesn't it, was, you know, to embrace one form of social media but neglected the other one very, very badly. And, you know, both yourself and myself are big fans of Twitter, probably more so than Facebook.
Yeah.
And, I can't understand why they haven't embraced Twitter, when it's probably the easier of the ones to manage anyway.
Exactly right. And if they're worried about privacy and the rest of it, it's also a lot better for people to get on and a view from the sidelines than Facebook, where they've got to basically... I mean, I guess that could be the issue. They can get all their information for their sponsors through Facebook with all the in the privacy issues and all that kind of stuff. But what really bugs me is that with the NRL one, they went missing for about a month there, about a month or two ago. I don't know what happened. They've come back again. They've streamlined it back from just forwarding on links where half the headline of the... article is actually blocked out and you just get the link, to actually putting the effort in to put a little hashtag there and say what the article's name is. But there's absolutely no real interaction with any of the fans, and I just don't get why they're letting this this opportunity slip, because there is, I mean, probably, I don't know, the last few weeks, people have finally figured out that hashtags, I don't know if you're familiar with them, Matt, but they get topics trending and whatnot, and they're finally bringing in match hashtags. So you've got NRL Bulldogs versus Titans or whatever it was, and we won't go into what they called it. But the whole idea is that you get everybody, can they follow a stream of information on that one particular game. This is the kind of thing that the NRL has to get behind and be, you know, have the foresight to use in the first place. Yet they can't even interact with their fans on Twitter, yet here they are complaining or saying that they need to be kept the number one on Facebook. I just would love to be a fly on the wall in their social media meetings on a Monday when they come in and the person who runs Twitter gives the numbers that have been going on, because at the moment I just can't see any engagement whatsoever.
It just makes no sense, and you know, I've thought about the reasons why they wouldn't, but you know, we've seen how some players embrace Twitter for better or worse that may be too, but you know, it's just such a great way to get information quickly and interact, like you said, with supporters, you know, both as, you know, as a whole and right down to that one-on-one level as well.
Yeah, actually, just on Twitter, after we've given it a wrap, I don't understand the trend going on at the moment where people are setting up fake accounts for players. There was one in the last 48 hours. Someone set up one for Jared Warrior-Hargraves, that Roosters front rower. Turns out it was an imposter who ended up trying to get all these rumours out there. And I don't understand the theory behind setting it up yourself, because, you know, there's this whole saying you get 15 minutes of fame. In Twitter, it's about 15 seconds, and they get, basically it's going to give themselves no room to ever interact with these people ever again. I don't get it. You any mindset in that, Matt?
No, I you'd have to have a psychiatrist to work out what's going on with some of those people's heads, and when they're actually trying to produce genuine fake accounts. During the summer in the cricket, there were a lot of, funnier cricket ones that, men called themselves not Ricky Ponting or whatever it may be.
Not Shane Watson, etc. Yeah,
they were parodies, and some of them were a bit missed, but some of them were quite funny. So these ones that are trying to be genuine fakes, obviously I would write them off as Fruit Loops.
Well, we know you're not a genuine fake, mate, because your tipping is pretty good this season, and we're going to get you round 13 tips now. Friday night, the Sharks host your Broncos.
Yeah, this is one the Broncos really need to win, but never easy going down to Shark Park on a cold Friday night. But I'll stick with the Bronx.
Eels and Dragons?
I've potted the Eels all year. It's one of these games you wouldn't write off an upset, but I can't see how the Eels beat the Dragons. I'll stick with the Dragons.
Now, Titans and Panthers. This is a toughie.
Yeah, this could be a nil-all draw. I'll stick with the Panthers. Like we said, if everything goes right, they are a very good side. The Titans, they're just very, very plain. I'll go with the Penny Panthers.
Okay, no room for vanilla for Matt. Now, Bulldogs and Seagulls.
Like how the Seagulls are playing, and... I think they'll beat the Bulldogs easy there.
Roosters Warriors is an interesting one.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. We've given the Warriors a wrap a little bit earlier. Roosters going fairly ordinary. This is a test for the Warriors to see where they're at, and I'll stick with the boys from New Zealand.
Raiders Cowboys, Campese may be a late inclusion. There's also talk David Shillington is an outside chance as well.
I don't like to do it because I need them to keep winning games to get to the minor premiership, but I'm actually going to tip the Raiders. Cowboys playing during the day, not very flash at all, so I think the Raiders at home playing during the day will win that one.
If I knew Campese was playing, I'd still be picking the Cowboys. Rabbitohs versus Storm?
Storm.
Yeah, very much so. We've got the Tigers and the Knights.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go the Knights. They just play a brand of footy that's impressed me, but Tigers still probably having too much firepower, and then I'll go with the Tigers.
Now, special fried rice, you have first pick, and just quietly, everybody, if you're not following Matt and Nick's special fried rice picks, you are missing out. They're both 10 for 12 for the season. Now, everybody, when you've got to choose one game a week that is definitely going to be a winner, and they have to get it in a different order so they don't always have first pick of all the games, it's a phenomenal effort at this stage of the year, and you have first pick, Matt.
Put the pressure on now, Oz. Watch us both get railed this week, but I'm going to go to Storm against the Bunnies.
So to update everybody else's special fried rice picks, Matt had first. He's taken the Storm to beat the Bunnies. Now, Dave is not well. He didn't join us tonight on the podcast. I have his tips here before me. He's got the Broncos, he's got the Dragons, he's got the Panthers, he's got the Seagulls, he's got the Warriors, he's got the Cowboys, Storm, and Tigers. Pretty stock standard from Dave, but hey, he's tipping well. His fried rice is the Dragons to beat the Eels. Nick has third pick, as you may have heard earlier. His third option would be the Broncos to beat the Sharks, which means I have fourth option this week. I'm going to take the Tigers to beat the Knights. So there's our tips and special fried rice for round number 13 on Not the Footy Show. Okay, now, before we head off here on Not the Footy Show, the A-League released its season draw last Tuesday. I think it was on Tuesday, actually, and they've announced that they're going to have a day on January 4th where it's going to be basically a football fest. They've got five straight games, back-to-back-to-back, on the TV, starting in Auckland or Wellington, I think it is, and moving all the way to Perth. Now, this idea isn't anything new in terms of covering sport, either in Australia or overseas, but it's a good adoption for a code that is really struggling to get viewership. The only downside I realised for the A-League was that they'll be going up against a cricket test match.
Yeah, that's not ideal for the poor old A-leaguers, but no, good initiative for them, and of course up here in Brisbane, they got a bit of a lot of support after, because the Raw won the A-League Grand Final, and they obviously wear the very bright orange shirts, and we still see a lot of orange shirts around still even at the moment. So yeah, very good initiative for the A-League to adopt.
Now, the reason that we're bringing this up on a rugby league show is, why don't the NRL, when this independent commission comes in 2032 or whenever it's supposed to be, decide that, hey, we might actually celebrate Rugby League in a similar way and have a thing called Rugby League Day. Now, this is just spitballing, but you could start a game at 12 o'clock in New Zealand, their time, so it starts about 10 o'clock here, However you want to play the Warriors, that's fine. Then you move over to maybe, I don't know, Canberra for the 1 o'clock game, because you don't want to play them too late because it's too freezing cold. Late in the afternoon down there, they play, say, the Dragons in what is basically the only local derby they've ever got. And then you've got, I don't know, we'll go to Brisbane for the next match, you reckon?
Yeah, sounds good. Slotted in there.
Slotted in there. Well, then we'll go back down to Sydney for, say, the Bulldogs and Parramatta at a twilight game, perhaps. And then we've got the option of going, we could probably put one more game in if we wanted to, but, you know, you can head over, if you have it on a Sunday, I think, is the best day, because that's the day everyone sort of relaxes and might actually enjoy it more. Head over to Perth, and I know that the Bunnies play a couple of games over there. They could play maybe the Storm over there in Perth and at 8:30 our time, so we get primetime rugby league, which is 6:30 their time. And all of a sudden, we've got a day where we can just celebrate rugby league back to back to back. And one of the things that I brought it up is they've got a thing in Canada called Hockey Day in Canada for the NHL, and they've got six NHL teams over there at the moment, seven next year, go the Jets. And they basically show three games, one at 2, one at 7, one at 10, but they take the whole commentary team that run Hockey Night in Canada over there at CBC, and they go to a regional location, and they just celebrate the game with pond hockey and interviews with the people that are behind the game. So I know we've got Women in League round coming up soon here in the NRL, and you can go around to all the regional centres if you want, and just set up this weekend where you cross to them during the whole day, and it's just a real celebration of what rugby league means to everybody in the country across Australasia. The question I've got for you, Matt, is... A, would you endorse it? And B, when do you think the best time of the year might be for this?
I certainly endorse it. I think it's a great idea and probably overdue, to be honest. There was ideas, not the exact same idea floated, I forget if it was last year or even the year before, to have a weekend of rugby league in Queensland, you know, to play a weekend's worth of games at actually Lang Park. So the Friday, Saturday, yep, and Sunday games, and, you know, close off Caxton Street and make it a real festival of rugby league. But I like this idea a bit more, and I think probably this time of the year is your ideal time of the year to try it on, you know, with the rugby league. While you probably want to have you want to make a spectacle of it, but, you know, this is where we're in a bit of a lull. State of Origin kind of takes hold. Let's keep, the premiership rounds in the spotlight as well.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there, mate. As we've mentioned before, we've been on air tonight, the standard of footy has just been woeful the last few weeks. We've got to do something about it. And, hey, what's wrong with celebrating the game? I just hope that the NRL doesn't think that just having one doubleheader a year is enough.
Oh, well, yeah, let's hope so. And they've seemed to have hung their hat on that a little bit. The one thing I will mention about the doubleheaders and what I find interesting is they really, for me, lack a lot of atmosphere, and I know it was a little bit different from a Broncos supporter's point of view, because this is the first doubleheader that of the three that the Broncos have had that wasn't actually a Broncos home game.
Yeah.
So there wasn't that same type of, you know, atmosphere that we'd normally get at a home game. But yeah, the doubleheaders for me probably act, you know, because you've got four different sets of fans, you know, it's an interesting mix and probably lack a bit of, you know, punch from an atmosphere point of view, whereas I think if we played those games in different areas but back to back, I think it's a fantastic idea, and geez, I reckon Foxtel might like it as well.
They would very much so. Obviously we need an independent commission on track to start with. Just on that, before we move on to the next topic, Wayne Pearce apparently is a very good chance at being on that independent commission, and if so would have to give up his commentary duties on Fox.
He wouldn't be missed from this point of view. The word's going around.
I just hope they can get Gary Freeman on the, the independent commission, and all our problems will be solved.
Yeah.
We have a question on Twitter before we went on air tonight, asked if you had any questions, and it's Mitch Rose wants to know, more certain for inclusion in the NRL, the Western Reds or the Central Coast Bears?
Who I pick or who I think they'll
Mate, who you think?
Who do I think?
Well, who do you think it'll happen, basically, is the question.
I think the Reds are a big hope, actually. Yeah, I don't think we need expansion yet. I think we're 5 years away from where we need to be with expansion. If you see the lack of depth we've got in our teams at the moment, where, you know, a team cops an injury, you know, you can nearly put the line through them for the season, for a major injury, that is, yeah. But I think the Reds probably just tick enough boxes from a TV point of view.
Yeah.
Central Coast, I'd love to see that Bears brand back for all those loyal supporters, but I just think Western Red makes more sense.
Yeah, I can't see it happening before about 2015 or 2017, to be honest. As I said, I keep going.
My view on expansion, I think it needs to come, but I think the priority is we really need to strengthen our second tier comps.
Yeah, I think moving away from the whole reserve grade was a massive mistake, and putting all that cash into the Toyota Cup when... Does anyone care?
No one cares, and you know, there's a big question mark over the type of players we're creating in that competition.
Indeed. Now, the other question we had on was from Righty Nose. He wants to know whether gorgeous George Rose will play Saturday night. I have no idea. He's got a calf strain. I'd say he's 50-50, but I need to bring up something that he put on. He said that Trent Hodgkinson was lucky that he's not playing this Saturday night because in the 20 minutes that George Rose would be on the field, he would have taken him out. Unfortunately for George, I think that's massive overs because I think he played 7 on the weekend.
Poor old George.
Last point before we go. Next week on Not the Footy Show, we have our Rookie of the Year special. Now, Matthew, you are not a rookie. I guess you've graduated to the starting lineup permanently this year, but your rookie season was last year. I think there's no doubt you were Rookie of the Year, mate. So, round of applause for you.
Thank you very much.
We have to pick our Rookie of the Year for the Not the Footy Show panel in 2011. No one else knows about this yet, but the contenders, Andy Raymond from Fox Sports, Nathan Ryan from sportsnewsfirst.com.au. We've got Maria Cialis, our bell, who's helping us out from Big League. And then I reckon the real favourite at this stage, Young Eyes, he's also in contention. Who do you like at this stage, mate?
Oh, geez, hard to go past Eyes. He's very popular up here in Queensland. I'm walking down the streets, everyone's talking about Eyes. So I'd say he's the favourite.
Very much so. We'll have to cast our secret ballot next week. But yeah, tune in next week, everybody. Maddie will be on the phone. Dave will be in the studio. We'll be talking NRL Rookie of the Year for 2011.
Just quickly on that, was the player I tipped last season, at the end of last season, to be Rookie of the Year, travelling okay too.
Yeah, who would that be?
Ailey Terry Evans.
Very much so. All right, everybody, that's Matty Duncan pushing the DCE train, and we'll be back next week to talk through all the contenders for the Rookie of the Year. If you've got a suggestion, throw us an email over at wdnicholson.com. You can follow us on the NRL tweet, and Matt is at Mr. Peninsula. We'll speak to you next week, Matthew.
Good on you, love.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
See you, mate. Cheers.
Not the Footy Show.
Just a plug for Matt's radio show. It's Sports Fever at 101.5 FM up there in Queensland. You can go to the website www.1015fm.com.au and listen to the live streaming of Sports Fever. It kicks off at 8 a.m. on every Thursday. There's usually Matty Duncan alongside Andre Grimaud, and that is the Sports Fever team up there in Queensland.
Not the Footy Show.
That's Not the Footy Show, episode 65. I've been Warwick Nicholson, your host. Thanks to my guest Matty Duncan from Queensland, Maurice Yard from Big League Magazine, Nick McInerney, plus the kids Eyes and Boots giving their tips for round 13. Now we'll have Dave back on deck next week. He's not well. And he'll be in the studio for our Rookie of the Year preview show, or prediction show, or, you know, we'll just tell you who is actually going to be Rookie of the Year, hopefully. And we also have all the teams for Origin number 2, a bit of dissection on who has been picked, who hasn't been picked. We will have another Origin special before Origin number 2, which I think is the 15th of June, so still 2 weeks to go until that great day when the Blues levelled the series. I've been Warwick Nicholson. You can get me on Twitter at NRL Tweet, at wdnicholson.com. Plenty of rugby league tips, previews, reviews, all the votes for NRL Tweet Player of the Year over there. And get our videos on YouTube at NSC Videos. So, without further ado, have a good afternoon, have a good evening, have a good morning. Hope you've helped your commute to and from work this week. Remember, tell your friends about the show, because Jamal listens, we think.
G'day everyone, here with Jamal Idris, mate. Had a huge game, season opener. Mate, what do you do during the week though?
I listen to Not the Footy Show.
Another.
Where's the beef?
You've been sleeping over there.